Keep yourself in the loop of everything football on the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. The latest news on and off the field, be it college football, Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, Pac-12, ACC to the NFL. We've got you covered. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
Right, and welcome to the GSMC Football Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. And as always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. All right, folks, it is Tuesday, April 17th. It is now day 73 since our last football game. All right, I like how I'm starting to be more prepared as far as let you know what day it is since our last football game. But nonetheless, yes, it is day 73. And no, people might be, oh, what about the Supreme League? We don't count that. All right. We do not count that at all. All right. Until the Alliance of American Football comes out next February, whenever it is, or maybe the XFL, the NFL is the only football league we really pay attention to. And that's, I'm curious too. I mean, I wonder once the Alliance of American Football comes out, like, am I going to be talking about that? Who knows? I mean, maybe if they put enough, like, we don't talk about the CFL or anything like that. We haven't even really talked about the Spring League. Spring League's only, like, they only played, like, two games, I think. It was kind of like a showcase. Yeah, it's like a showcase, isn't it, the Spring League? I mean, Johnny Manziel played pretty well, I think, during his little two-game stint or whatever it was at the Spring League. But nonetheless, I mean, is a team going to give him an opportunity to come sign in the NFL? I doubt it. I'd like to see it. I think Johnny Manziel's a good quarterback, and he's a fun guy to watch. But nonetheless, he'll probably be playing in the CFL this season. All right. Like I said, as far as the Alliance of American Football, XFL, I mean, that's going to be in 2 years. All right. Well, Alliance of American Football is next year. But nonetheless, I mean, I wonder if it's going to be notable enough for me to talk about it. As far as, like, remember how when the NFL season was going on, we give, like, recaps, stats, and all that. I mean, would we do that for the Alliance of American Football? Who knows? All right, maybe they get Vince Young out there, maybe Matt Leinart. I mean, what quarterbacks would be good for that league? Maybe you get Colin Kaepernick. It doesn't seem like he's going to be in the NFL anytime soon, which is kind of sad to see, but nonetheless, maybe you get Johnny Manziel. All right, who knows? They do got a CBS deal, so I mean, it's not like you're going out playing in the USFL or anything like that. What was the one where they had Dante Culpepper, I think it was? He was playing for, like, the Sacramento team or something like that. All right. And I noticed all these football leagues except for the CFL just do not work out. And the CFL only works out because of the fact that they play in Canada. All these new football leagues they try and open up in the United States, I mean, they just do not last whatsoever. And it's just kind of like, I'm not saying it's ridiculous, but it's just kind of wild. But anyways, I mean, there's that. So here's how today's show is going to go. All right. There's a report that came out talking about how Aaron Rodgers wants to be consulted on the moves that the Packers make. We're going to talk about that. Rodgers came out, denied it and all that. But nonetheless, we're still going to talk about it because that's what we do. We talk about stuff even though players come out and deny it. And one thing too, you can't always trust players the same way you can't always trust media. But nonetheless, that's going to be the first segment. Second segment, we talked about it on Thursday. All right, what the meeting between Dez Bryant and Jerry Jones was going to consist of, what's going to happen. I gave my thoughts on it all, and turns out that meeting was just to let Dez Bryant know, hey, we're going to go ahead and cut you. All right, thanks, but no thanks. You've been great, but it's time for you to go home. So that's what that was. We're going to be talking about that for the second segment. We're going to be talking about possible landing spots for him, pretty much just give my thoughts on it. Third segment. Jameis Winston ended up getting his fifth-year option picked up by the Bucks. All right, no surprise there, but we're going to be talking about him. We're going to be talking about the Buccaneers. I got a lot of thoughts to give on that. Jameis Winston is one of my favorite quarterbacks to watch ever since even when he was at Florida State. He was a fun guy to watch. We're going to talk about him, maybe even throw Marcus Mariota in there a bit because of the fact they're always going to be connected since they went in two in the same draft. All right, kind of like how Vince Young and Matt Leinart were. Man, talking about Vince Young and Matt Leinart, just great college quarterbacks. All right. Probably one of the best quarterbacks, some of the best quarterbacks of all time in college football, and it's just, they just did not work out in the NFL. All right. Matt Leinart, I mean, I'm sure everyone expected him to be this great guy coming out of USC, light up the NFL, eventual Hall of Famer, and it's just the dude did not work out. Vince Young, I think, didn't work out because it was Jeff Fisher's fault, but that's a story for a different day. All right, and then as you know, for the fourth segment, going to be talking about anything else going on in the world of football, or in any news, notes, or anything that's notable. I mean, OTAs are starting. Hugh Jackson told his Browns team the winning starts now. All right, yeah, it sounds nice, and you do have the players to start doing that, I guess, but nonetheless, I mean, what happened in the last two seasons, Hugh? I mean, I understand, yeah, you're not going to finish over 500 or anything like that, but 1-31 in your last two seasons? Doesn't sound too enticing. All right, so we'll probably talk about that. And then, let's see, Greg Olsen wants an extension. We'll talk about that too, I guess. But nonetheless, let's get into this whole Aaron Rodgers thing, all right? So Aaron Rodgers, I think we can all agree, right, that he is a top two quarterback in the league. All right, let me look around the league and see what quarterbacks I take him. None in the NFC East, none in the NFC North, none in the NFC South, none in the NFC West, none in the AFC West, none in the South, AFC South, none in the NFC, AFC North, and I guess maybe one in the AFC East, and that, of course, is Ryan Tannehill. No, I'm just playing about that, Tom Brady. All right, Tom Brady's the only player in this league who you could make the argument for maybe he's better than Aaron Rodgers, and I'm not talking about all the accolades, okay? As far as all-time quarterbacks go, yes, I will take Brady. If we're talking just pure talent, forget the Super Bowl rings, forget the MVPs and all that, I'm taking Aaron Rodgers, all right? I feel like Rodgers can do more than Brady, and I just feel like he's overall just more talented as far as throwing on the run, scrambling, getting outside the pocket, arm strength, all right? I do think that Rodgers is better there. And you can disagree with me. That's fine with me. I'm not going to hate you for thinking that Tom Brady's the best quarterback in the league. That's perfectly fine, all right? But nonetheless, as far as pure talent goes, I'm going to take Rodgers, and I think I'm okay doing that too, all right? But nonetheless, I mean, it looks like Rodgers isn't completely happy in good old Wisconsin, Green Bay, Wisconsin, Cheese Person Land, or whatever they call themselves, Cheeseheads. Yeah, Cheeseheads, I think is what they call themselves, Cheeseheads, I think. Yeah, so it didn't seem all too great over there, all right? Because remember this offseason, the Packers ended up firing their quarterback's coach, Alex Van Pelt, and Rodgers didn't seem too happy about that. Goes on an ESPN radio show or podcast, I can't remember exactly which one it was, but nonetheless, goes on there, talks about how he would have been liked to have been consulted about it, and that's fine, I understand that. I mean, you figure that, and again, I'm not around NFL teams or in locker rooms or anything like that or in the film sessions, but you'd think that a quarterback and quarterback's coach does spend pretty much all day, every day with each other as far as preparing for games, as far as fixing mechanics and all that. You figure they're with each other more than the head coach is with the quarterback, right? Yeah. All right, so I understand Rodgers wanted to be consulted there. All right, then the report comes out today that he'd like to be consulted pretty much like as far as personnel decisions and stuff like that. Okay, and I was talking with Tate and before the show, and he was telling me how it's pretty much that's coming from them cutting Jordy Nelson. That's where I have the problem, okay? As far as the quarterback's coach, of course, all right? Rodgers spends most of his time with him. Why wouldn't you consult him there, all right? One of the best quarterback in the league, arguably, and you're not going to let him know, hey, we're firing your quarterback's coach, the guy who's helped you so far in your career? Doesn't really make too much sense there, does it? No, it does not. But nonetheless, all right? Tate was telling me how this is, like, there's reports coming about, like, this is coming from the whole Jordy Nelson getting cut. And like I said, that's where my problem is there, because of the fact that Jordy Nelson, last couple of years, really hasn't been too great. And I think we can all agree on that, okay? At one point, yeah, he was a very great receiver, one of the best receivers on the Packers. But nonetheless, now it's like Jordy Nelson's an old guy. All right, I think Jordy Nelson, I'd have to double check how much he was supposed to make. I know it's about the same as Randall Cobb, so maybe I'll just check that. But nonetheless, I mean, he was supposed to make quite a bit of money, okay? Jordy Nelson is not the number one receiver on, wasn't the number, was not the number one receiver on the Packers, okay, this past season. That was Davante Adams. Davante Adams now making $14.5 million, which is well deserved. All right, but like I said, yeah, Davante Adams overtook Jordy Nelson as far as the top receiver on that team. And I'm trying to find, let me see what Jordy Nelson, oh yeah, Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson were supposed to be making the same thing. Cobb is making $10 million this year. All right. And I figure if you're going to have to pay one of them. They were going to have to cut one of them, either Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson. I feel like at this point in time, Randall Cobb brings more to the table than Jordy Nelson does. All right. And I feel pretty comfortable saying that. Okay, if Jordy Nelson was as good as he was, then Oakland wouldn't just be giving him a one-year deal. And as far as Rodgers want to be consulted on? I mean, what's Rodgers going to do? Rodgers going to say, no, I want Jordy on the team. Keep him here. The NFL doesn't work that way, okay? Over in the NBA, yeah, you're going to have players who are consulted. Guys like LeBron James, Damian Lillard, all right? Those guys are going to be asked about the personnel decisions because that's what you got to, like, that's just how the NBA works. The NBA and the NFL is like two completely different leagues as far as how they're run, as far as what they allow and all that, all right? But nonetheless, I mean, let's say this meeting happens, okay? Rodgers meeting with the front office. Rodgers like, I want Jordy Nelson here. I like having him here. Okay, well, we're paying him $10 million and he's not really been the most productive receiver. We'd rather keep Cobb at that price because he's at least bringing something to the table. Rodgers says, oh, well, I like Jordy still. I want you to keep him. Okay, meeting's over. Jordy's still getting cut. They're not going to keep him there. It's not financially, doesn't financially make sense to do it. All right, why are you going to pay for someone who's not worth what you're paying? Okay, so what's the difference there? That doesn't make sense to me. All right, I'm cool with Rodgers wanting to be consulted as far as his quarterback's coach, the possibility of him getting fired, which he was, that makes total sense to me. But as far as the personnel decisions, I mean, Tom Brady isn't even getting consulted on personnel decisions. I highly doubt that Bill Belichick say, hey, Tom, can you come into my office real quick? Oh, yeah, sure, Bill. Hey, what do you think of this move? Do you like it? Do you want me to make this move? I highly doubt that happens. All right, I think I did a little nice impression of Belichick and Brady. I think I sound exactly like him. But unless, I highly doubt that happens, okay? I highly doubt Pete Carroll's asking Russell Wilson to come in. Hey, what do you think of this? You want this guy over here or no? Should we cut Jimmy Graham? I highly doubt that was something that was ran through Russell Wilson, all right? Even with guys like Matt Stafford or anyone else, I highly doubt coaches are like, or GMs are like, hey, should we make this move? No, because you're a football player. You're supposed to just go out there, do your job, all right? If you're the quarterback, you throw to whoever the team puts out there for you to throw to. Okay, you don't really get a say in who do you want to keep, who do you want to have go. It doesn't really work that way in the NFL. And one thing, too, I've noticed is that it seems like the relationship between Aaron Rodgers and the Packers is kind of starting to go a bit sour. All right, Rodgers' contract is up in 2019. After that year, he's gone. All right, obviously, they're trying to work out a deal now, but it's a matter of does Rodgers even want to be there? All right, and I'm sure if Green Bay makes him the highest paid player all time in the NFL, he'll stay there. But it's just a matter of that's something to follow too. So we'll see what's going on. But as far as the whole consultant on personnel decisions, no. I mean, Rodgers pretty much came out and denied that. But I mean, I'm not sure how much I believe him. If anything, that's just him probably trying to save face there. But we'll see how it all ends up. And like I said, Green Bay's going to have to work out a deal with him pretty soon. So we'll see if that happens. But nonetheless, that's going to wrap it up here. Next up, we're going to be talking about the whole Dez Bryant thing. Not more so about him and the Cowboys anymore, but just life after Dez Bryant. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
All right, and welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. Let's see, what are we talking about the first thing? We talked about Aaron Rodgers, all right? Report came out that he wanted to be consulted on personnel moves and all that. I don't agree with that. I do agree with the fact that he said he wanted to be consulted as far as them firing his quarterback's coach. And yeah, dude spends most of his time at the facility with the quarterback's coach, I'm guessing. So yeah, that'd probably be a nice little thing to consult him on. But as far as like who we're cutting, who we're keeping, what do you think of this move? No, he doesn't need to know anything about that. All right, just play with the guys that are there, and everything will be fun and fine and ready to go. All right, so that's what I thought about it. If you want to listen back to it, go ahead. But nonetheless, for this segment, Dez Bryant, okay? We talked about him on Thursday. Was still a member of the Cowboys, okay? Talked about how he had a meeting with Jerry Jones on Friday. And now Dez is no longer a Cowboy. I'm not going to say I called it, but I called it. And it's not like I called it on Thursday. I've been calling it ever since this became a story. Not just so the meeting, but the whole Dallas Cowboys, what are they going to do with Dez Bryant? All right. I figured just from the jump, from the time this even was even a thing, that they had to cut him. All right. It makes no sense whatsoever to keep a guy like that unless you're cutting his pay. Ask him to take a pay cut. I mean, why on earth would you keep a guy at $60 million who's giving you number two receiver numbers? All right, you just don't do that. And I mean, even if they did ask him to take a pay cut, I doubt he'd do it. But nonetheless, here we are. He's now a free agent. All right, I'm curious. All right, if Dez Bryant was a free agent from the beginning, from the start of free agency, would he be the top free agent to go out and get? I mean, obviously, Adelman Kinsu became a free agent, but that was after the fact. I'm talking as far as start of free agency, Dallas cuts him. Now we're starting off here. Would he be the top best free agent? As far as receivers, I think maybe. I mean, it depends if you take Allen Robinson over Dez or even Sammy Watkins. And I don't like Sammy Watkins. I would take Dez Bryant over him. And that's one thing there too, okay? Sammy Watkins is making $16 million a year. Where's Allen Robinson at? Allen Robinson is going to be making $14 a year pretty much on average. All right. Where does Dez Bryant fit in as far as these receivers? Like, how much money do we think Dez Bryant is going to make on the open market? All right, because you got guys like Jarvis Landry who got paid, who's going to be making $15 million a year. Hopkins is making $16 million. Mike Evans is making $16.5 million. All right, Antonio Brown's making $17 million. Demaryius is making $14 million. T.Y. is making $13 million. A.J. Green is making $15 million. Davante Adams is getting $14.5 million. Alshon's getting $13 million. Like I said, Watkins is getting $16 million, which is preposterous to me. Then you got Allen Robinson making $14 million. All right, Dez Bryant. At one point, yes, was the best receiver in the league, okay? And you can shake your head no all you want. It's true, he was. There's no doubt about it, okay? It's fine. But nonetheless, I mean, what do we think that Dez Bryant gets now, too? I mean, I wouldn't pay Dez Bryant $16 million, I don't think. And I think some team is going to, but it's just a matter of who is going to, all right? And let me see. Let me look at teams with caps, like with a lot of cap space left. And it's just a matter of, like, one thing, too, with Dez Bryant getting cut, and, like, there's so much to unpack here, like, after the fact, but nonetheless, I mean, Dez Bryant's not going to Cleveland, I don't think. Highly doubt he'd go to Indianapolis. Tennessee, that's a possibility. San Francisco, I think, would be a great fit for Dez Bryant. Houston still got a lot of cap space. They got the fifth most cap space left. Maybe you could see him ending up there. I think Tyrann Mathieu said he was trying to recruit him, or it was DeAndre Hopkins. Either way, someone's trying to recruit him over to Houston. Chicago's already got their number one. The Jets, maybe. All right, they got $26 million left in cap space, got the seventh most cap space left. Let's see, let's head over to the NFC East, because it seems like Dez Bryant is very, very, very intrigued as far as the concept of playing the Cowboys twice. Redskins got $16 million left in cap, nearly 17, I guess you could say. Let's see, where's the Giants and Eagles at? All right, the Giants currently have 27th most cap space with $5 million left, and then the Eagles got the least amount of cap space with one. All right, $1 million. I highly doubt that we see Dez Bryant in the NFC East. And the only way we see Dez Bryant in the NFC East is if he ends up with Washington, I think. And I would not do that if I was Dez Bryant. I really like Alex Smith, but I figure Dez Bryant isn't really a guy who would do well with a guy like Alex Smith. I mean, it might possibly happen. But it's just a matter of, I think Dez is better off ending up with a team like the Patriots, or even the Packers. All right. Replacing Jordy Nelson with Dez Bryant is, like, by far best case scenario. All right. Because you're replacing one receiver with a better one. Let me see. The Packers currently got $13 million in cap space. And like I said, I mean, I'm not really sure Dez Bryant gets that $16 million a year deal contract. I'm not even sure how many years he's going to get. Maybe 3 years, 2 years at the most. Maybe he gets a 1 year prove it deal. Who knows? But nonetheless, like I said, I mean, as far as Dez Bryant, seemed really bitter about the fact that they cut him. All right, and it seems like his beef with the Cowboys isn't more so with Jerry Jones, it's with Steven Jones, it's with Jason Garrett, the staff, and then guys like the team captains, the Dak Prescotts and the Jason Wittens of the Cowboys. All right, seems like those are the guys who wanted him out. And Dez Bryant was talking about how he knew Jerry Jones didn't want to cut him, but it was just a matter of it was 6-1 or whatever it was called, and he had no choice. All right, and with Dez Bryant, obviously, we saw once Dak Prescott came in, Dez Bryant's stats went down. And I think that's more so because of the fact that they had to limit the offense a bit in order to fit Dak Prescott. All right. And even then, so, I mean, you got Dak out there. Let's not forget, Ezekiel Elliott is playing running back for that team, and you're going to have to get him around 20 to 30 touches a game, whether it be 20 carries, 10 recept, 10 targets or whatever, but he's going to need his, all right? And with Dez Bryant, I mean, at one point, yes, he was the best player on the Cowboys offense and was that guy where you need to get him his targets, and he did affect about the ability to win or lose games for the Cowboys. But that is gone now because of the fact of how they run their offense, all right? So now that he's gone, it just seems like I said, it's just like he said it this way. He said it's the Garrett guys who wanted him gone. The guys who were pretty much on Jason Garrett's side, pretty much the guys in that little circle right there. All right? And I believe it. I mean, I've said it before. It didn't look like Dak Prescott and Dez Bryant ever saw eye to eye, and I wasn't just saying that on Thursday. I've been saying it all offseason ever since this has been a topic. All right? That's no surprise here. But nonetheless, Dez Bryant's gone, and now it's personal for him. You can tell. All right? I'm sure most of us figured he'd be retiring as a Cowboy, and you could tell that most of the fans did too. I mean, this was not a popular move, according to the fans. All right, you're paying attention to Twitter, you're paying attention to what the Cowboys fans are saying. They're not happy about it at all. All right, and I was surprised too because of the fact that the guy really hasn't produced so much the last 3 years. Last 3 years, because the first year of the last 3 years, I mean, he got hurt, so I guess that counts too. All right, but like I said, he hasn't produced much, and the fans are still bent out of shape over it. All right, and it just seems like this is something that could have been avoided possibly. I mean, maybe if you're Jerry Jones, you go and ask him to take a pay cut in order to try and work it out. But even then, so it seemed like Dez Bryant was saying, like, Jerry didn't even want to ask him to do that. And it seems like Jerry Jones and Dez Bryant had a very close relationship, and Dez Bryant was saying that too, saying that he doesn't blame Jerry for it at all. He's fine with Jerry. He loves Jerry. He's more so mad at Jason Garrett and all that. And I do want to see, if I did see Dez Bryant go to the NFCs, I would like to see him do extremely well against the Cowboys, because I do root for guys like that. And I know Dez Bryant probably isn't the easiest person to work with. And I was talking to Tate before the show too, and he was telling me how on the local channels over in Dallas, pretty much the beat writers and everyone were talking about how Dez Bryant had a route running issue with the Cowboys. And with Romo, it's pretty much Romo will throw the ball up in the air. He'll find Dez Bryant and get the ball to him. Dak Prescott is more an Alex Smith. Like I say, it's Alex Smith 2.0. All right. And that's not a bad thing. Okay. I really like Alex Smith, but nonetheless, Dak Prescott's not going to take chances. And he's going to pretty much just run the reads. All right. Dez Bryant, I mean, you can't do that with Dez Bryant when the dude's supposed to be running an in route. He's running a street. He's running a post or a fade route, whatever they want to call it. All right. That just won't work. And that's why we saw Dez's production go down. You don't got a Tony Romo looking for him. All right, I'm just going to throw the ball out there to Dez. He's going to come down with it. And that's pretty much what their little mantra was right there. Throw the ball up to Dez. Hope he gets it. All right. But nonetheless, I mean, like I said, it just wasn't working out there. So, I mean, teams that are really looking at him, the Ravens, Green Bay, the Patriots. I think San Francisco really needs to bring him in. I think if San Francisco were to sign Dez Bryant, I mean, San Francisco is without a doubt the second best team in the NFC West, and might even put him over the top, to be honest. All right, Jimmy Garoppolo still does need his number one receiver, and I feel like you put a guy like Dez Bryant out there, boom, you got your number one receiver. You put him on Green Bay, that'd be perfect. That would be perfect right there if he goes to Green Bay. All right, full circle, the whole Dez didn't catch a thing, now he's on the Packers. All right, and I'd have to check the schedule. Let me see if I can check the Dallas Cowboys schedule this season. I wonder if they do. I want to see who they play this season. All right, and that's pretty much going to give us an idea of where Dez Bryant can end up, because I know he wants to play the Cowboys. All right, so let's see. Who do they got going on this season? Let me see if I can find it out real quick. Obviously, you're going to be playing the NFC East teams six times out of the year. So, I mean, that's a possibility right there. So let's see who they got going on real quick. Let me see. And like you said, with the Eagles, I don't see that happening at all. With the Giants, I don't really see that happening, because, I mean, with the Giants, I mean, that's just too many Eagles on one team, all right? Like, how do you manage to have a guy like Odell Beckham Jr. and Dez Bryant on the same team when they're both going to be running targets, all right? We'll talk about that in a few moments, but let's see. So they got Detroit, Jacksonville, New Orleans, Tampa Bay, Tennessee, and then on their road games, they got the Falcons, the Panthers. Let me see real quick. Falcons, Panthers, Texans, Colts, Seahawks. So, I mean, obviously Green Bay and New England aren't on the schedule. Texans are a team where maybe they can make a play for a guy like Dez Bryant. And, I mean, Dez Bryant's got to realize that he's going to have a new role if he were to go to a team like the Texans because of the fact that DeAndre Hopkins is the top receiver on that team, and that's not up for debate whatsoever, all right? Yeah, Dez can replace a guy like Will Fuller, and I'm sure like Deshaun Watson would be the perfect quarterback for a guy like Dez Bryant because Deshaun Watson does throw down the field, and he does like to take chances from what I've seen this season, all right? So yeah, like I said, it's either he ends up with the NFC East team or he goes to play for the Texans, I guess, if he wants to play the Cowboys. But if I'm him, I'm going to Green Bay because the fact I go to Green Bay, I got a better chance to win a Super Bowl than the Cowboys do. All right? Even with the Patriots, the whole goal for Dez Bryant would be to do better than the Cowboys this season. All right? So we'll see what ends up happening. But as far as him on the Giants, I mean, I just don't see that working whatsoever because I'm almost positive they still got Brandon Marshall on the team, on the books. All right? They got to figure out what's going on with Odell Beckham Jr. But you put Dez Bryant there, that's way too many egos for one wide receiver. All right, someone is going to get frustrated. It wouldn't work. If the Giants were smart, they're not even going to think about bringing him in. It just wouldn't work whatsoever. So we'll see about it, but that's all I got to say about that. Like I said, I mean, everyone figured that Dez Bryant would eventually retire as a Cowboy. That's not happening, and I don't know, it's just a weird situation how it all played out. But like I said, Dez Bryant now a free agent. We'll see where he ends up. If I have to make a pick, I hope it's Green Bay. If he goes to Green Bay, that's going to be fun to watch. And I think Dez Bryant's career will be revived if he goes back to Green Bay. His stats will go up a whole lot more. So we'll see what ends up happening there. But we're going to wrap it up. And next up, we're going to be talking about Jameis Winston and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. So far today, we've talked Aaron Rodgers. He wants to be consulted, or at least the report that came out says he wants to be consulted on personnel moves and all that. I believe it. I mean, he said he wanted to be consulted as far as them firing his quarterbacks coach, so why not be consulted on the player moves? I don't think he should be consulted on the player moves, but I do think Green Bay should have talked to him at least about the fact that they were thinking of getting rid of his quarterbacks coach, all right? That I do think they should have talked to him about. But either way, second thing, we talked about Dez Bryant, talked about how much he could possibly get paid, where he could end up. I think that him and the Giants would just be a terrible fit because of the fact that, I mean, there's going to be some problem coming from that locker room, all right? Because of the fact that either Odell Beckham's not getting enough touches, enough targets, Dez isn't getting enough targets, or Brandon Marshall didn't get enough targets. So we'll see where he ends up. I think he should honestly probably end up going to San Francisco or Green Bay. Those are my top two destinations for him, but we'll see. It seems like he really wants to play in the NFC East just so he could play the Cowboys twice a year. But even then, so he goes to the NFC, he goes to the Giants. I mean, are they better than Cowboys? I'd say yeah, if he went there. Because I do think that Dez Bryant is still a great receiver. It's just a matter of he needs to find the right fit. So we'll see what ends up going on there. But we're going to talk about Jameis Winston for this segment. Talk a bit about Mark Allen. We're going to talk about, we'll see what we talk about for this one. But it's going to be Jameis Winston, all right? So Jameis Winston just finished up his third year. Wasn't a great one. Hurt his shoulder. Finished the year with 13 starts. Went 3-10. Completed 63.8% of his passes, which was a career high so far. Let's see. Threw 19 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, 3,500 yards. So, I mean, I guess you could say it wasn't a terrible year for Jameis Winston. I mean, as far as the records go, yeah, it was pretty bad. This was out of his 3 years, this was the second most he's been sacked. 33 sacks, was sacked on 6.9% of the plays he played. He was attempting to pass. Let's see. Had two quarterback led comebacks. I mean, it just wasn't a good year for Tampa Bay. Or with the hurricane thing, they were playing 16 games back to back. I mean, not back to back. They didn't have a bye. They only had a bye week one. That's because of the hurricane. So I mean, that's not really great there. And it's just the offensive line didn't really play well. And it was a bad year all around for the Tampa Bay Bucks. But I mean, as far as them picking up the option for Jameis Winston, I mean, that's not really news or anything like that as far as like surprising. I mean, of course, we've all figured that they were going to do it. He's going to be entering his fourth year, so they got him locked up for the fifth year at least. And I'm sure this year they're going to be working out a long-term deal with him. But, I mean, what do we think as far as, like, what do we think of Jameis Winston? How good of a quarterback is he? I mean, where would you put him on the list as far as top 10? Is he top 15? Who knows? All right, let me see. Let's go through it right now. We'll name quarterbacks we think are better than Jameis Winston, okay? I'll take him over Dak. All right, let's see. I'll take Wentz over him right now. I will take Stafford, Cousins, Rodgers. So let's see, that's four we got. We got Wentz, Stafford, Rodgers, Cousins. It's four quarterbacks. All right, then I'll take Ryan. I'll take Winston over Cam. Just because of the fact that I'll put Cam over Winston, I guess. So that's six. I'll take Breeze over him. NFC West, I will take Wilson. So that's already eight quarterbacks we've named so far. Brady, Roethlisberger. Okay, that's already 10. That's 10 quarterbacks right there. I will take Mariota over him. No, I will still take Winston. And then the AFC West, I'll take Winston over Rivers. Just because Rivers is old now. So right there, even then, even if I take Rivers over, he's on the outside right there of that top, being a top 10 quarterback. He's about 12 or 11 as far as how good of a quarterback he is, okay? And speaking of Mariota, I mean, let's compare the two just for the sake of it. They both went 1-2 in the 2015 draft. That was their first year. All right, so let's see. Winston, his rookie year, completed 58% of his passes, threw for over 4,000 yards, 22 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. Mariota, he played less games too. Winston was a starter from the jump, where Mariota only played 12 games that season. I think he got hurt. Did he get hurt that season? Either way, though, he had 19 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, 62%, 2,800 yards. All right, so I guess if you give Mariota four more games, stats are about pretty similar. If anything, the touchdowns are more. All right, yeah, let's see. Yeah, the touchdowns would be more, I'm sure, and the interceptions might catch up with Winston there. 2016, Mariota plays 15 games. He missed one. Winston plays 16, so there's not much of a difference there. Winston completed nearly 61% of his passes, threw for nearly 4,100 yards, 28 touchdowns, 18 interceptions. And then for Mariota, he had, completed 61% of his passes, threw for 3,400 yards, 26 touchdowns, 9 picks. So I'm going to give that year to, I'm going to call it a push, because Winston's record was better. He had three more touchdowns, threw for more yards. Mariota just threw less interceptions there. All right, and then last year, I mean, Mariota went 9-6. They made the playoffs. Winston went 3-10. Let's see. And this was a bad year for both, too. Winston had a career high in completion percentage, nearly 64, 3,500 yards, 19 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. And then for Mariota, he had 62% of his passes completed, threw for over 3,200 yards, 13 touchdowns, 15 picks. So even though the records are completely different, I'd say Winston had the better year statistically. All right. And again, you're probably wondering, like, why are you comparing these guys? But they're always going to be connected. Like I said, the same way Vince Young and Matt Leinart are always going to be connected. Mariota and Winston are always going to be connected, because we've been talking about who the better quarterback has been since they were in college, right? With Mariota at Oregon and Winston at Florida State, that was always a discussion. I do think that Winston has always been the better quarterback because of the fact that Winston has always been successful for the most part from where he's been. I mean, he's only played 3 years so far in the NFL, and with Mariota, he's only played 3 years, but does have a playoff start, so he gets the edge there. But nonetheless, as far as pure skill, I'd take Winston, because I feel he's more of a prototypical quarterback. Mariota's got to get out of the pocket more, and he's a scrambler type of quarterback, all right? He does have a great arm and all that, but I feel more comfortable if Jameis Winston was my quarterback there, all right? But nonetheless, if you're the Tampa Bay Bucks, I mean, do you like what you've seen so far from Jameis Winston? I think that you're not entirely happy. Well, I mean, you got to be happy because of, one, the fact that you know you do have your franchise quarterback, but Two, it's just you're kind of worried about the turnovers, I guess you could say. Because of the fact that Jameis Winston does a lot of make a lot of boneheaded plays there. I think we can all agree, right? I mean, as far as interceptions go and all that, I mean, there's some... You could probably cut Jameis Winston's interceptions in half, possibly even more than that, if he just was smarter as a quarterback. Okay? If Jameis Winston knew we just went to take the sack or throw the ball away, a lot of these problems we wouldn't even be having, to be honest. All right? But it's just Jameis Winston, we know what he could be. If he fixed up his game a little bit more and just stopped turning the ball over so much, he could be a top five quarterback eventually in the league. Okay, and I feel pretty comfortable saying that. And as far as Marcus Mariota goes, I mean, I'm very, 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 very intrigued to see what he does this season. Real excited to see what I think his name, Matt LaFleur, I think his name is, his new quarterback's coach, can do with Mariota. Yeah, his new offensive coordinator, actually, not quarterback's coach, but nonetheless, LaFleur was the offensive coordinator with the Rams this past year. And I mean, you saw from Goff's rookie year to his second year with LaFleur, who wasn't there. In Goff's rookie year, I mean, it was just night and day. Goff was a completely different quarterback, looked really good. And then Matt LaFleur was also the quarterback's coach for Matt Ryan in the year Matt Ryan won the MVP, which was 2 years ago. All right, so everywhere pretty much LaFleur has gone, he's pretty much done well. All right, let me see where he's been at so far in his career. Started off with the Houston Texans. He was an offensive assistant. Then went to Washington. And let's see, that was 2012, I think it was. So yeah, he was working with guys like Robert Griffin and Kirk Cousins. Obviously, Robert Griffin was a good quarterback. It's just a matter of the dude got hurt way too much, and Kirk Cousins has got the most guaranteed money in the NFL, I believe it is. Or he's got the first guaranteed, fully guaranteed contract. All right. Then he heads over to Atlanta, and like I said, Matt Ryan won the MVP that year. And then with the Rams, Goff got better. And then with the Titans, now it's a matter of seeing how he fixes up a guy like Marcus Mariota, who had his worst year so far as a quarterback in the league. All right. So I'm very excited to see what happens with him. And I think both of these guys could eventually maybe... Jameis, I know, has the tools to become a top five quarterback. And he's not close, but he does have the ability to. I think with Mariota, he's got to be sharpened up a little bit more in order to become that. And I think that LaFleur could end up getting him there. So, like I said, with both quarterbacks, I mean, it's just a matter of you're waiting for them to take the next step. Obviously, they're still on their rookie contract, so they're still learning and trying to develop a whole bunch more. But eventually, you like to see them, like, to show, like, yeah, we're set at quarterback. We have nothing to worry about. All right? And I do like both quarterbacks. Like I said, I've always preferred Jameis over Marcus Mariota. But nonetheless, I mean, there's no real concern as to, like, there's not really much of a difference. If we were to put Marcus Mariota on the Bucks and Jameis on the Titans, I mean, neither team gets worse. All right? They're both very good quarterbacks in the league itself. So we'll see what ends up happening. But as far as the Bucks go, I mean, this year you'd probably hope to see that they play a whole lot better than what last season was, all right? I mean, they were even thinking about firing Dirk Cutter, and I think they would have if John Gruden would have chose them over the Raiders. But nonetheless, I mean, like this season, in order for Dirk Cutter to keep his job this season, I feel you got to have Jameis play well, and you got to show some improvement as far as the Bucs. I mean, last year their defense was poor. Running backs weren't great. Mike Evans had a down year. DeSean Jackson wasn't really doing too much there, and Jameis really, he got hurt. All right, so like I said, there's going to be a big improvement this year. At least compete for a playoff spot, all right? That's the goal of this season for the Bucks. I feel, is to compete for like a wild card spot. I'm not really sure, I mean, what they can do in the division where you got the Saints, the Panthers, and the Falcons, but at least compete for a wild card spot. And I think Jameis Winston needs to start moving over to taking that next step, all right? Enough with the silly turnovers and pretty much clean up your game a bit. So we'll see what ends up happening, but that's all really I got to say about that. Next up, we're going to be talking about anything else going on in the world of football. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen,
it's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
All right, and welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. So far today, we've talked Aaron Rodgers. All right, yeah, Aaron Rodgers seems like, I don't know. I think Aaron Rodgers is a likable guy. I think he's a very good quarterback. I think he's the best quarterback in the league. But you think he's a likable guy? I don't know. All right, we talked about him in the first segment. Second segment, we talked about Dez Bryant, where he could end up. Really hope he doesn't end up with the Giants. I mean, that'd be terrible. I mean, I can only imagine. The headlines would write themselves, all right? I'm sure the New York media wants him there because that's just more stories to write about. But nonetheless, that's a possibility. The Ravens are a possibility. Eric Weddle said he already talked to Dez Bryant, but I don't think Dez Bryant is really too interested in going to a team like the Ravens. I mean, who do they? They signed recently got Michael Crabtree. I don't know. Dez Bryant and Michael Crabtree could be a little solid 1-2 duo, but, I mean, you do got that guy Joe Flacco playing quarterback there. All right, and Joe Flacco, I mean, he's not the best quarterback. Let's just say that, okay? I think we've all realized that. But nonetheless, I mean, yeah, I mean, as far as Dez Bryant and Crabtree there, I just don't think that Joe Flacco would be good enough in order to utilize those guys out there. All right, but nonetheless, that's a possibility. I think San Francisco, I mean, I haven't really seen San Francisco's name really brought up too much. I do think that they do need to bring him in. All right, at least for a visit and see, pretty much get like a filling out process for him because of the fact that you still have no number one receiver. All right, and if you want to go and get a number one receiver out in the draft, I mean, you're not going to spend the ninth pick on one because none of those wide receivers are worth a pick that high. All right, I say ninth round, I meant ninth pick in the first round or whatever. Nonetheless, you get it. And then, I mean, if you're going to try and get a number one in the second round, I mean, maybe it's a possibility. Anyway, they'll end up seeing it. I really want to see him in Green Bay. New England, I'm not sure if that would work out because of the fact, I don't know. All right, but I think Green Bay and San Francisco, I'd like, that's one of the two spots where I'd like to see Dez Bryant. So like I said, we talked about that. All right, third segment, we talked about Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota. But like I said, I'm really excited to see what Mariota could do this year. I think he's going to have probably the best year of his career so far. I mean, this is only his fourth year, so I got to be careful as far as throwing out the best year of his career. But I said so far, didn't I? As far as Jameis Winston goes, I think he's going to make an improvement this season too. But it's just a matter of, is he going to be able to limit the turnovers? If not, then there's nothing really there for them, I guess. Because, I mean, they're going to be giving him a long-term deal. But it's like eventually the dude's got to be a lot smarter as far as his the quarterback position. But yeah, so there's that. We've talked about it. And then let's see, what are we going to talk about for this segment? Let's talk about, oh yeah, Hugh Jackson telling the 0-16 Browns that they're going to start winning. Okay, like, what does that even, like, obviously, like, what does that mean? Like, the last 2 years, why weren't you winning? All right, and again, I'm not trying to say, oh yeah, you should have been over 500 team or anything like that, but winning only one game in the last 2 years is pretty inexcusable, all right? I'd say so, at least. I mean, I figure any other coach gets fired, right? But nonetheless, I mean, let's look at it. The last 2 years for the Browns, do we think they were that bad to where they could only win one game? Like, were they that bad of a team? Honestly, all right, to only win one game? I don't think so. And again, I'm not going out saying they should have been playoff contenders or anything like that, but I figure maybe in the last 2 years, the Browns, I mean, realistically, with the team they got, probably could have got around 7 wins combined, maybe 8, 9, and you go 5-11 one year, 4-12 the next. But to only get one win out of the last 2 years, I mean, come on now. Do we really think they were that bad? I don't, like I said, I don't think so. And as far as, like, the whole, like, I don't get, one thing that's kind of puzzled me as far as what they did is, you brought in, like, a whole new front office, practically, all right? Brought in John Dorsey to be your GM, and a couple of other front office guys to pretty much help with scouting, personnel, and all that, okay? Usually, when you do that, you have them bring in their coach they want, okay? And I just think that, I think that that's probably what they should have did. I think that the Browns probably would have been better off letting go of a guy like Hugh Jackson. Again, you don't want to see people lose their jobs or anything like that. But it's like Hugh Jackson would have fell on his feet. Probably wouldn't end up at his offensive coordinator somewhere. Because like I said, I always say, Hugh Jackson, the offensive coordinator, one of the best in the league, okay? Hugh Jackson, the head coach, not great. All right, we've seen it with him at the Raiders. We saw it with him at in Cleveland so far. It hasn't worked out. All right, when he was with the Bengals as the offensive coordinator, They had a great offense. He leaves, that offense pretty much just went down the drain. All right. And I figure that, and maybe again, I'm just completely overhyping this Browns team by saying they could have got 7 wins at least combined the last 2 years. And maybe they just were that bad, but I just think it's a matter of, like I said, it just doesn't make sense to me bringing in a whole new GM, whole new front office, and keeping the same head coach, the one who's been losing. And maybe, who knows? I mean, they brought in a lot of good players. You got Tyrod Taylor at quarterback. You're going to draft one, okay? You got Carlos Hyde at the running back spot, Landry, Coleman, and Gordon as your receivers, and Njoku as your tight end. Still a pretty solid offensive line. Not as good as it's been the last decade or so, but it's still pretty good. All right, and then the defense is just really young, but they're on their way just to developing and getting even better. All right. So, I mean, that's... I'm very curious to see what happens with the Browns this year, okay? I personally think that they have a team that's good enough to compete for, like, a wild card spot. And I do think as of right now, they are better than the Bengals. As far as them being better than the Ravens, I mean, on paper, I would take the Browns. But we don't play on paper, so I still got to go with the Ravens there just because of the fact that they got the better coach, the better defense, and they're still working on the offense. But nonetheless, I'm not ready to put the Browns over that. But like I said, I mean, like, we could expect them this season to compete for a wild card spot, but there's just this whole thing with people saying, like, there's, like, I think they it's a possibility, but there's people out there who pretty much say it's the Browns. Okay, it's the Browns. When have they ever done something good with the situation that they got? And I'm not sure really what I think of that. Like, is it a fair assessment or is it just kind of lazy? All right. Like, we can't go out and say, like, because again, it's like been a bunch of different regimes over in Cleveland, a bunch of different players. We can't really put what they've done in the past to now, even though it's pretty easy to. I mean, the Browns have never really changed. All right. They've never really been that team who, how do you say, like, improved. They've been bad from 1998 to 2018. All right. Is this the year it changes? It might possibly be, but it's just a matter of, like, I don't know. Like, it's just, yeah, I do get you can't trust the Browns. So we'll see what ends up happening with them. But like I said, I mean, I wouldn't hold my, like, I do think that they could compete for a wild card spot, but I think that is asking for a lot there because of the fact that it's just, we've never seen that before from them. All right, but one thing I really do like about the Browns, probably my favorite move that they've made this season, isn't trading for Jarvis Landry, bringing in Carlos Hyde, or even trading for Tyrod Taylor. It's making Todd Haley the offensive coordinator. All right, everywhere Todd Haley has gone besides being a head coach, and even then, so when he was the head coach of Kansas City, I think they made the playoffs 1 year, and they weren't, like, terribly bad or anything like that. They just weren't as great as you wanted them to be. But nonetheless, everywhere he's gone as an offensive coordinator, even as a wide receivers coach, he's done well. All right, I think he started out in Dallas as the wide receivers coach, as an offensive assistant or something like that. Worked with Tony Romo a lot. Was the offensive coordinator for the Cardinals the year they went to the Super Bowl, I believe. Was the offensive coordinator for Pittsburgh the last few years, and they've had one of the best offenses in the league year in and year out. All right, he's pretty much everywhere he goes, the offense tends to play well. So that's probably my favorite move that the Browns have made this season, is bringing in a guy like Todd Haley. I think that is what's going to keep them competing for a wild card spot. If they do, it's going to be because of Todd Haley. Obviously, you got players out there and stuff, but you do need a coach to pretty much put those players in the position to execute what they need done. So I do like Todd Haley being there, but that's pretty much all I got to say about that. Let's see, anything else going on in the world of football? I mean, those first three segments are pretty much all that's really been going on. I mean, the draft is going to be happening next week. That's going to be a fun one. I can't wait for that. I'm very curious to see what the Browns do there as far as the draft. Are you going to go with Josh Allen or are you going to go with Sam Darnold? I think they'll go Darnold. I think, let's see, we'll go Darnold 1, and I'm going to keep doing this. Next week, we'll do a little mock draft. I think, yeah, we'll do a mock draft on Thursday. We'll do my only mock draft, because that's going to be the night before. That's going to be the night of the draft, so we'll do that. But, like, right now, I got Darnold going 1. I'm going to go Chubb going 2. Allen going 3. Number 4, that'd be the Browns. I'll say they take Mika Fitzpatrick. Number 5 is the Broncos. They'll take Saquon Barkley, I think, because they cut CJ Anderson. And let's see. So we still got Rosen. We got Mayfield. We got Jackson still on the board. 6 is the Colts. Maybe, who would they take there if Barkley's gone? Maybe Quentin Nelson. We'll go Quentin Nelson at 6. Derwin James at 7. At 8, that's where the Bears are. Who would the Bears take? I'm going to go cornerback for the Bears. Let's go Josh Jackson or Denzel Ward. Roquan Smith at 9 to the 49ers. Tremaine Edmonds at 10 to the Raiders. Rosen at 11 to the Dolphins. I'll go Mayfield at 12 to the Bills. All right. After that, I mean, it's pretty much whatever. It's pretty much you can't pick that. But nonetheless, I think that's how the top 12 is going to go. Are the Bills going to trade up? I hope they don't, because of the fact that if they do, the season's going to be pretty bad for them. They already got a bunch of holes they still got to fix up, and bringing in a quarterback is not going to fix that, especially a rookie one at that. So we'll see what ends up happening, but we're actually going to wrap it up here. Like I said, today we talked about Aaron Rodgers, Dez Bryant, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, and then for this segment, we talked about the Browns a bit, talked about Hugh Jackson, gave my thoughts on him. Like I said, I really like the fact that they brought in Todd Haley to be the offensive coordinator, and then we made my first 12 picks for the draft today. And like I said, I have the Broncos taking Saquon Barkley because of the fact they cut CJ Anderson. I'm very curious to see what happens with CJ Anderson. Where does he end up? How much money does he make? Miami's a possible destination for him. I feel like Miami's been kind of flirting with him the last couple of years. They offered him $10 million a year, I think it was, or $10 million guaranteed or something like that when he was a restricted free agent. But the Broncos ended up matching it. Now they cut him. There was talks of the Dolphins possibly trading for him. That never happened, obviously. So maybe they end up getting C.J. Anderson finally as an unrestricted free agent. Who knows? I mean, Anderson, Gore, and Kenyon Drake sounds like a pretty decent backfield. But if I'm Miami, I'd just go to the draft as far as getting a running back. I like Sony Michel. I like Nick Chubb. And I like guys out of LSU. If I was Miami, I'd really go after Michel, though, because I think he's got really great vision. But that's going to wrap it up here. Thanks for listening to the GSMC Football Podcast. As always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. We'll be back on Thursday, so stay tuned, and we'll talk to you later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.